This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the line, actually, we have Tony Pua. He's the DAP MP for Petaling Jaya Utara and a member of the Public Accounts Committee of the Malaysian Parliament. Now, Tony, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Your committee, the Public Accounts Committee, issued a statement. The chairman, Dato' Noor Jazlan Mohamed of UMNO, said that the Auditor General should look at, or carry out rather, an audit of the government-owned 1MDB before it calls up the company. He says what should be looked at is the source of the 2 billion used to settle 1MDB's loans with local banks, 3 billion ringgit injection of government funds into the debt-laden company, its dealings with Petro Saudi International, and whether the money parked in the Cayman Islands has been brought back. A huge number of questions there. Why did the committee choose to issue a statement last week?
Well, actually, the chairman issued it, and the chairman has the powers to issue his statements. But we are in agreement with what the chairman has done, although there needs to be a degree of urgency to this, because this is an extremely pressing matter. Based on the information that is actually out there, we have billions of ringgit missing from 1MDB accounts.
In the past, the PAC has not been as aggressive in taking up this issue. Why the change now?
Well, I think the situation has got to a stage where it became too big an elephant in the room to be completely ignored without losing in the entirety your credibility. It is not the first time that 1MDB has been hauled up or is to be hauled up to the PAC. We actually did that in the year 2010. We had two meetings which were inconclusive, and my attempts to actually get PAC to call them back again sort of fell on deaf ears. And I'm glad that finally 1MDB is back to the PAC radar. But unfortunately, it has taken perhaps 4 years later, and during that 4 years, many things have happened, and 1MDB may not have reached the scale of disaster it has today if we had been more persistent in the earlier days back in 2010 and 2011.
Tony, this is Julian. Can you just take us through what are the details of the legalities and the technical lines that you, as a member of PAC or the PAC itself, as well as the parliamentarians, what are the causes of action that they can take to bring this thing to accountability and to closure?
The powers of PAC to investigate is fairly wide-ranging. If you look at the actual Act of Parliament, committees in the House have the power to even issue warrants of arrest and jail parties who are not compliant to the summons or requests by the various House committees. But as we know, no committee or even the Parliament itself have ever exercised these powers. It's like, uncharted territories. Although the language of the Parliament Act actually grants us a lot of powers, but no one has actually exercised these powers. And perhaps before this, there was never any political will to actually do it, especially for the critical cases. So usually we rely on the fact that many of these companies that we call are public interest companies, and their officials are willing to actually come forward and volunteer testimony to the committee.
So is there going to be an actual concrete timetable that will be carried out in which you guys in the PAC and Parliament as well?
Because based on some of the disclosures found yesterday where documents were exposed, we hope that I will personally discuss with the PAC chairman to expedite this issue due to the sheer urgency and sheer scale of it, and hopefully put up a timeline that will be more immediate and more pressing to ensure that the public gets the information it needs.
Of course, Tony, it's Nadia here. 1MDB has a new CEO, Mr. Aro Kanda. Have you actually gone to him personally and talked all of this out? Because as far as I can see...
He has actually issued a public statement to say that he is happy to engage with me and offer to share information with me as far as he can. And I've been waiting 6 weeks now for the actual date of such an appointment after accepting it again publicly, immediately. But that offer don't seem to be forthcoming anymore.
And of course, this harks back to the time during the global financial crisis where the banks were kind of culpable, but we don't know who to charge, right? Who to prosecute? Who is this person in 1MDB's case that will be brought to account?
I think a lot of people need to be brought into account. You have the board of directors of 1MDB. They signed on all the accounts of 1MDB, and they signed on, they would have approved all the relevant transactions, the important ones, whether it's PetroSaudi or with ABA or with ADMIC. They need to be brought to book. The management who executed these deals are responsible, whether as masterminds or as abetting these transactions. And perhaps the person that we have to figure out how to make responsible is someone like Jolo, who didn't appear anywhere within 1MDB, but seems to be able to dictate where the money in 1MDB were to go.
Now, Tony, what about the Prime Minister himself, who apparently is for whom 1MDB is the brainchild? He's also the chair of the Board of Advisors. What about his responsibility in this?
The question to determine is his complicity in the entire fiasco in 1MDB. But he cannot escape responsibility because at the very least, he has been the chairman of the Board of Advisors from inception. This 1MDB is his baby. The fact that One Malaysia, his cornerstone policy, is named after his cornerstone policy. And the fact that he's Minister of Finance, where 1MDB is a wholly owned subsidiary, he cannot escape the ultimate responsibility should we find cash and money missing from 1MDB. And the fact is also this problem isn't new. I went through my records and my very first question to the Parliament on 1MDB was made in February of 2010. And ever since then, all sorts of issues have been raised and all the government did was that everything is fine, they have enough money, everything is proper, there's no discrepancy. And if such is the case, then surely they have to be responsible for the fact that 1MDB has no money today.
But the thing is, Tony, actually, the Putrajaya has told the Sunday Times that Prime Minister Najib is not involved in the daily operations of 1MDB. He says that it's all run professionally by all the managers and all the accounts are audited by the likes of Deloitte. So what do you say when they respond to something like that?
Two aspects to it. One, that means they completely ignore, and he has to be responsible for completely ignoring all the criticisms that has been raised by whether opposition politicians, whether it's Dr. Mahathir, or whether it's the financial media who have highlighted all the various problems in 1MDB over the past 2 to 3 years. And he has completely ignored that. As a Minister of Finance, that cannot be responsible. At the very least, that proved his incompetence.
Now, it was reported the Cabinet rejected the request of $3 billion for 1MDB as repayment. Now, what do you think that signals if the Prime Minister's own Cabinet is denying him or the application?
I think something is brewing. I think there's something brewing where there's a rebellion within the Cabinet. Now, normally these things, when the Prime Minister tables something, it gets approved, nobody asks questions, nobody look at it, and based on the report that was published, it was actually approved the week before, where no one seems to have questioned anything, but apparently forces behind the scenes have lobbied the ministers not to approve without further information, and during the minutes confirmation, they actually rejected that particular loan. That has to be a major setback for the Prime Minister. That actually proves that there is a quiet rebellion going on within the Cabinet. It is historic that something like that actually happened. And we only have to wait and see how strong these forces are and whether changes will actually happen.
And what is the end result that you want for this? Is it to dismantle the entire 1MDB group and return, dismantle the 44 billion liabilities that they have?
I think it is too early to be able to say what we can do with 1MDB without knowing what is there in 1MDB. Now, we know that they have about 12 to 13 billion ringgit of power assets, thereabouts, or could be less. But they have loans of 42 billion ringgit. We have to know the rest of the 30 billion ringgit, where did it go? Are they in hard assets? Are they disappeared? Are they in assets that are completely illiquid or have lost complete value? Before we know all these things, we can't actually prescribe a medication to rescue or dismantle 1MDB. What we want, however, is the perpetrators behind this massive scam are brought to book and sent to jail.
The interesting thing is, of course, 1MDB has said that it redeemed about $2.33 billion in November and December 2014. It's brought back some of the money. Some of it, Arokanda has been on record as saying he's keeping offshore for a currency hedge. And then PetroSaudi also said that 1MDB funds, after the Sarawak report, said it did go to its units, in contrast to what was saying in the report. I mean, what is your answer to questions like these?
The very simple question question about the final redemption done by 1MDB on the Cayman's funds, which is approximately US$1.1 billion. Is that where is the money? No, you do not need $1.1 billion for currency hedge. You can buy a hedge for a fraction of the amount that you need to cover the loans that may, the interest that are due in a couple of months in US dollars. And when you don't have money to pay loans in Malaysia, you don't hold on to your cash overseas while locally you go begging to the local billionaire, Tan Sri Ananda Krishnan, for a 2 billion ringgit loan. It just doesn't make sense. So the biggest question at hand, and Arul have said himself, they made 488 million US dollars from the Petro-Saudi transaction. Where is this money? No, there's a very easy way to solve this problem. Show me a bank account with cash of 1.1 billion transmitted directly from the redemption of Cayman Islands Fund.
Tony, you called this a scam just now. Do you think you've prejudged it?
I do not. And I called it a scam since 2013. Of course, the evidence then were not as strong as what evidence we have today. It is clear as day to me as a scam because the entire arrangement to sign the agreement with Petro-Saudi to siphon the money out within a period of 2 weeks, has to be a scam. No one makes investments of $1 billion of the country's money in 2 weeks. And to allow it, knowingly allow $700 million to be siphoned to an account that doesn't belong to Petro-Saudi. And now we know, based on the documents that are on display, that this account actually belonged to a company controlled by Joe Loh. It's scandalous. It just defies belief, the brazenness of the entire exercise.
Well, will the Public Accounts Committee, of course, go that one step further and verify all these claims that have been made by, you know, the Sarawak report?
I would love to, and I would have to press my chairman to take more concrete, faster action to ensure that 1MDB comes to PAC as soon as possible. I hope that there won't be any excuses for dilly-dallying, for not wanting to come and cooperate, or other technical matters. I really hope, and I think the public hopes, that PAC will be able to see 1MDB as soon as possible.
Well, Arul has also said that you can just look through the accounts at the Suruhanjaya and you should get your answer.
I could have looked through the accounts in 2010. I'll give an example. I looked through the accounts in 2010. There was never a single mention of the details of the joint venture agreement. Nothing was mentioned of the fact that they signed a joint venture agreement where $700 million was immediately taken out from the joint venture agreement. And this was actually stated in the joint venture agreement. With such material information missing from the accounts and the apparent cover-up by the conversion from equity, unexplainable conversion from equity to loans, there are a lot more information that they can hide without being published in the audited statements.
Tony, from a policy viewpoint, what steps can be taken by the government to prevent such future leakages? And I'm sure that we've had other scams and scandals before. What is the government's positioning on, what should the government's positioning be on setting up sovereign wealth funds?
It doesn't have to be a sovereign wealth fund. It doesn't have to be that scale. It can just be a company, whether it's PKF, ZAC, or any other company, to undertake any other projects. The problems we have in the country is we lack institutions with teeth to actually investigate all these companies and bring those parties to book. And we have a culture where institutions will not take action against those who are in power. And as such, by default, these people who are in power actually gets to do whatever they want. No, the thing about 1MDB is no one in the cabinet actually knows what is happening in 1MDB except perhaps one or two individuals. Now, how can a cabinet not know anything for a wealth fund the size of 1MDB?
That was Tony Pua. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
That was Tony Pua, DAP MP for Petaling Jaya Utara, a member of the Public Accounts Committee of the Malaysian Parliament. He was speaking about 1MDB, or One Malaysia Development Berhad. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.